Okay, guys, so we are continuing in this Gemara. We are going to move out of the personality of Rav Chanina ben Tarajyon into Rabbi Meir. Now, we have two agadotot to analyze here. One is the one that's found in the Gemara, and the other that is not found in the Gemara. It's only found in Rashi, which is far stranger than anything we get in the Gemara. We'll see how much of it we get done today. Whatever or not, we'll continue next week. Let's start it off. Okay. So, we are on the bottom of Yechesim, and I'll have six lines from the bottom. Debitsu de Rabbi Meir, Buria debitsu de Rabbi Meir, Parte de Chanina ben Tarajyon Havoi. So now we learn something new that we didn't necessarily know elsewhere. It's not true, we did know it elsewhere, but the Gemara here introduces you to it, and we'll talk more about Buria in a second. But Buria is Chanina ben Tradion's other daughter, right? He has two daughters, at least. One who's in the brothel, right? Remember, that's where we left her off last week, right? Chanina ben Tradion was burned alive, right? His wife was killed, and his daughter, his single daughter, presumably, is in the brothel. As we've already talked about, right, in the presumably in the government brothel, which is right where the money goes to the government. Fine. Now Buria is the other sister, right, of Rav Chanina ben Tarajyon, and she, the other daughter of Rav Chanina ben Tarajyon, she's married to Rabbi Meir. So she's already married to Rabbi Meir.
Oh, is at this point?
She's already married. That's presumably
more about when she got married to Rabbi Meir.
We don't know when she got married to Rabbi Meir, but she is already married at this point in the Gemara to Rabbi Meir. The question, the problem that she has is her sister is in the brothel. Right? This is a problem. It bothers her. So Amrelo zila bimilsa diasa achtai bekuba shelzona. She said, "It's really embarrassing for me that I really don't like it that my sister is in a brothel." So the implication is,
let's get her out.
Yeah, go do something about this. Right, go do something. So shakal tarkiva de dinare. So he took a fortune of money, right? A fortune of gold coins. Right? Rashi notes it's Trey Kav Achati Sa'adinari Zavim, right? 2.5 kav of gold coins. So it's some weight, right? Like a sack of gold, right? That's basically the image here, okay? V'azal. Now, just from that first line, it is a bit strange, right? Buria sounds, that's a bit heartless. I don't know. Depends how you read it, right? I was reading a whole article on this, right? That there are different gears out. Some of it make it sound less heartless. Some of them say more, right? Some of them focus much more on the fact that she's bothered, like it's degrading to me. Other people on, the objective fact that, it should be bad that her sister's, whatever it is. But what Meir says is really quite hard to swallow. And Meir says, Amar, lo is avid ba yisura mis aved nisa. Six lines from the bottom, Yudchesim and Aleph. He says, if a sin has not been done with her, then a miracle will happen. But Yavda Yisura Lois Avid Lanisa. But if not, if she has been violated, then a miracle won't happen, which is really quite difficult, right? Because yes, but it's weird because it's clear that it's Avid Ba Yisura, meaning it's not that she did something wrong, right? It's that she was raped, right? She's forced into this government brothel. But for some reason, Rav Meir holds her to, as we'll see in a moment, a ridiculously high standard, which is that if she managed to avoid getting raped or slept with in the brothel, then in that chud, she will be saved. But if not, not.
Is that like an easy thing to do in the brothel?
No, not at all. We will see that she manages it, but that's really quite a high standard there, right? Daniel Boyarin has a very long article on this to note that this is actually a trope in the ancient world. The Gemara has this story about it, but there's actually a lot of stories in the ancient world about virgins and brothels. Right? This is just a trope. Though he notes that it's going to be very different here because the virgin and the brothel in a lot of the literature in the time of Chazal, what Why is it important that she remain a virgin? Right, if you can guess. For God, not gods. For God, for Jesus usually. Right? Right? It's sort of, right? And therefore, violating her, right, her virginity is a problem because that will make her not a virgin for Jesus. No, they don't. Hence nuns, right? That's what nuns, right? That's the whole part of it, that they're remaining virgins because saving themselves for God or Jesus or whatever it is, right? That's exactly the point. So he has, one of his points is that, as we'll see in a moment, our story of the virgin in the brothel ends not with, obviously, not with her remaining a virgin. What's the purpose, right? Yes, she can be married, right? Meaning, whether or not this is written as a trope or it just contrasts the trope of Christianity, right, it is important to realize that there were other virgin and brothel stories floating around at that time, but most of them ended with staying a virgin till she died and managing to martyr herself for Jesus or what or something like that, right? Meaning, at a certain level, this acts as a polemic, that even though we also have a virgin in the brothel story where we're getting her out, we're not getting her out so that she can remain a virgin, right? It's so that she can have a holy marriage rather than an unholy union, right? Which is a very different philosophical claim about sexuality, right? Is sexuality bad and virginity good, or is bad sexuality bad and good sexuality good, right? Which is the Jewish view versus the Christian view in that sense. Okay, so that's a point that Boyarin makes.
So why are most Christians, even like religious Christians, not nuns?
Because most people can't handle that. Right? I mean, the basic Christian view is that, right, or the Catholic view, really, it's not true of all branches of Christianity, but the Catholic view is that ideally you should be celibate. If you can't be celibate, you should be monogamous. Marry one spouse, right, and only have sex within marriage, right?
You can't be monogamous.
What?
How if you can't be monogamous?
Yes, you're damned to hell, right? Right, that's like your, those are your options, right? Okay, good. But that's one point to make on this Agadah. But as we continue, now, of course, in that background, so Boyarin notes, though, that in that background, it does make a little bit of sense. This Gemara makes, as hard as it is to swallow what Rameir is saying, right, it's not the only story in the time of the Gemara like this, right? There was sort of an expectation that the righteous virgin in the brothel would somehow manage to protect herself. I don't know if that makes it better, but he does note that this is not the only story where that trope appears.
Protect yourself?
What? Yes, that's what we're about to do now. So Azal Nokad Nafshek Echad Parsha. So Meir goes in, and he presents himself as a customer. And Amar La, right, as a chashiv customer. Right? I mean, he dressed himself as one of the rich that she wouldn't recognize him. So Amar La Hashmini Li. And says to her, listen, right? Listen to me. Meaning, right? He propositions her. Right? So Amar La Dashtina Ana. What is Dashtina Ana?
Dashtina,
as Rashi understands it, is a, is three words smushed together. Right? Which is Derech Nashim Li. Which is Amanida.
Oh, yeah.
Right, now why does that matter?
Because she wants to sleep. She won't have any kids.
Yeah, but she doesn't know he's Jewish. And the answer is because...
Oh, it was super taboo back then.
Yeah, because it was taboo not just in the Jewish world. Thank you. Right, that's the point. Right? This only makes sense if you recognize that being... Right? That if you recognize that being in Ida and sleeping with a woman who is in her menstrual... Right? Who was in the middle of her menstrual period is... a taboo for everyone, right? Otherwise, this would make no sense, right? The Zoroastrians, right? Meaning the local religion in Bavel, were much more machmer on Nida than we are by like 10,000-fold, right? They literally locked up Nidas outside the town in tents and gave them food through doggy doors. But this is also like an ancient belief. Like if you look in Pliny the Elder. Or Pliny the Younger, one of the Plinys, the Greek quasi-scientist, they believed all types of crazy things. Like if you wave Nida blood in front of a hurricane, it'll stop. Right? Like they really had quite interesting. They had all types of interesting things going on about this. So she says Dashtanana. Right now, that Shai Sikandar wrote his this was his the name of his dissertation was Dashtana Ana Derech Nashim Li, like comparison of menstrual laws in halacha in the Bavli and in the contemporaneous Zoroastrian society and whether there's any conversation between them. There clearly is conversation. Whether there's impact is a different story. Right, there are certain Gemaras in Nida that talk about that the some of the political leaders of Ifra Hormuz, the mother of one of the kings, would send Nida Shailas, right, to some of the Chachamim, right? There clearly was a certain recognition that everyone was dealing in these whatever it is, there's a universal taboo. That's the point here. So she says, I'm a Nida. Amar La. Mirat Chanam Mirtach. He says, look, I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to wait. Oh, wait. Amra lo, nefishin tuva. She said, why wait? There's so many more beautiful women than me in this brothel. Why wait for me to stop being a nida? Right? She said, there's many. Vikatuva achad despirin minai. They're more beautiful than me. So Meir says, oh, Amr shmami na lo avda yisura.
Meir? He's like the Reb Meir?
Yes. You missed the beginning. You missed the beginning. Yes. Reb Meir goes here because this is his sister-in-law who has been trapped in the brothel, and it's Bruria said, please save my sister, and he said, I'll save her, but first I'll see whether she has managed to avoid violating an Isser. Ah. So he's testing her.
Okay?
Now, one of the things to understand here... apparently not. So Shmamina lo avda yisura called us. I mean, look, to do it every day, maybe that would be hard, I don't know. Which Shmamina lo avda yisura called asi amra lehachi. Now, I will point out that something that many people have pointed out who analyze the Sagarata is that this Gemara, Rabbi Meir, personality-wise, apparently held everybody to really high standards. Because the Gemara in End of Kiddushin says that Rabbi Meir used to make fun of people who gave in to their sexual urges, so much so that he tempted fate, and the Satan disguised himself as a beautiful woman, and Rabbi Meir crossed the river, right, to get to him, and then right before he actually violated the Isser, the Satan said, you're lucky that God said, be wary of Rabbi Meir and his Torah, and he isn't letting me actually seduce you, because had I continued, right, your Torah would be worthless, right, because you would have sinned. Right, so there seems to be an ongoing polemic in the Gemara against Rabbi Meir's not strictness, his inhuman expectations, right? His belief that, right, I mean, you see that in this story, right? That he believes that it is a normal thing to expect, right? Right. A normal person might say, look, someone is trapped in a brothel. If she ends up sleeping with someone while she is a prisoner, you know, it's not her fault. Right, that's what someone might have said, but that's not what he says.
It's pretty easy for her.
What?
It's pretty easy to get out.
Okay, Ellie, and if she had succumbed or someone had just raped her, right? It's avid ba yisura, right?
Okay, look,
he came in and he could say,
"Is that she tried to get him out of it?"
Yes, think about the person who's in charge, right? What happens if every customer comes and says, she's a Nida. And this goes on for months, and it's like, really? You've been a Nida for 98 straight days?
Maybe
right?
Like, maybe the wife told Rav Meir like a day after it happened.
It sounds like it was a bit of time, right? Because remember, he said, he's testing, or it's clearly been there enough time that Rav Meir said, I'm going to go test if she's been doing this
maybe
for...
He's been there like a week, and he's like, well, she better not sell to anybody. It's clearly,
it's possible. Let me just quickly read you the Gemara and Kiddushin that people point to right? This is the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Pei Aleph. Rabbi Meir have mitzlotzeitz be'ovrei avera. Meir used to make fun of sinners. Yom achari damalei satan k'itzabach gisa denahara. So one day, the satan dressed up as a beautiful woman on the other side of the river. Lo have mabra. There wasn't a bridge. Nakat metra v'ka'avar. So what did he do? He, whatever, guide rope. Right? I mean, he like pulled himself, like he swung across, like Tarzan style. So I'm not really sure exactly what he's doing, but something like that, or he made a rope bridge. I don't really know. Kimata palga mitzrei shavki. It broke in the middle of the river. Amar ilav dekamachaze berakia yizarlo meir v'taras meir v'taraso shavise ledamach tarte moi. Had it not been that they said in heaven, guard Remeir and his Torah, I would have made you worth 2 pennies. Right? So. Right, so there is this personality thing that you get about Remeir, that if you follow the Agadotot, you see that he has maybe unrealistic expectations. At the end of the day, the Gemara criticizes him for it and says that Besovo Shaldar, he almost failed himself. Now, right, you know, it's one of those things that some of the people who comment on this say, if this Gemara is written chronologically, one would hope very much that the Gemara in Kedushin happens after the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Right, meaning once Remeir thought that under a normal circumstance he almost succumbed to temptation, you'd think he'd have a little bit more compassion on someone who might have given in not to temptation, but not managed to avoid being raped in a government brothel. Right, you would think. If it happened in the opposite order, gewalt. Right, mamish gewalt. Okay. But in the meantime, his sister-in-law has proven herself that she managed to avoid being raped in this brothel. So he says, okay, I'm gonna save her. So also Legabe Shomer Dida, he goes to the warden, I guess, I don't know, the person in charge of the brothel, I don't know. It's a government prison brothel, so I don't know exactly who it is, but fine. Amr La Hava Niela. He says, please give me my sister-in-law back. Amr La Mistafina Mi Malchusa. He says, I'm afraid of the government. Right? And again, this is a prisoner. He's asking for a prison break. So he says, I'm a little bit scared. So Amar Lei, Shkol Tarkava de Dinara, he said, here's my sack of gold. Palga Palach, Upalga Labelach, he said, half of it bribe, right? Use half of it for bribes and half of it keep for yourself, right? I'm going to bribe you and you can use the rest to bribe them. So Amar Lei, Vichishalmi Maya Aved, and he says, when the money is used up, what am I supposed to do with it? Now, remember I keep saying this is a government brothel that makes money for the government. Where did I get this notion from? From Tosfos on this line. If you look at Tosfos says, Yesh Mefarshim, Shenosin L'Shilton Mas Min Azonot. L'Mismar Gulgulotam. It sounds like there was a tax that was paid to the government based on this brothel. That's why he's worried. Because, right, they're going to expect certain money and eventually it's just going to be run out. It's going to run out. Ulkach Ha'ishol, Chishalmi Ma'ese. Ki Ech Eten Masa Ola. Mizparim, how am I going to pay the proper money based on the number of people here? V'chein leishel farshberish pirka shvakim oshavim zonav litol mas mehem. And he said, that's how I explain the Gemara and Daf Gimel. Right? Remember the Gemara and Daf Gimel? Right? When the Romans come in and say, we built marketplaces, and Hashem says, you built marketplaces to set up zonot. It doesn't mean zonot. It means government brothels to make money in lewd ways. Right? That's the... Rashi is a different one, who just says, look, he's just going to have to keep bribing them. And he says, when I've run out of money to bribe them, what am I going to do? Okay, fine, but let's take Tosfos. So then he says something which I've looked around a lot, and I have nothing to tell you on this line, because I do not understand it. He says, Amar le ema eloha de meir aneini. So, you ever heard of Rav Meir Balanes? You ever seen stucco, dedicated Rav Balanes? It's from this line right here. Right? That Remeir Balhanes, right? When they say give tzedakah to Remeir Balhanes, right? Or in the name of Remeir Balhanes, not to Remeir Balhanes, right? That'll mean that you'll find lost objects or something. Yeah. That comes from here. He said to him, when the money runs out, say, God of Meir, save me. Answer me. Umit salas, and you'll be saved. Amar le umi emer dahachi ika. He said, I need proof before I buy that one. Right? How do I know that works? So, Amar Lei has chazis. He said, you'll see right now. There were men eating dogs running around. Whatever. I don't know. Shakal Kala, and so Remeir, in front of this guy, took some spoiled meat, right, or whatever, some meat, and threw it right in front of the guard, right, to attract these man-eating dogs. Right, so they're coming to eat him. And Amar, Eloha de Meir Aneini. And he screams out, God of Meir, answer me. Shavkua. So they let him alone. So he believes in that these are magic words.
That's what I'm saying next time.
Yeah. No. So a lot of the Kabbalistic sources, there's a tremendous amount of literature on this, and starting around Ramami Panau, and many Shita going on exactly what does this mean. There's also in the Achronim a halachic concern here, which is that you're not supposed to be miyached Shem Hashem on any particular person, right? You can't say the God of somebody, right? God is God. Correct. And then they ask a shayla, how can you do Magen Avram? Fine. That's a halachic issue. But they ask, how could Rav Meir do it? So they said, maybe not. Maybe it's just a siman, right? It's not the God of Meir. It's like the God that Rav Meir davens to, right? Which, for this officer, right? Like, what does he know? Right? It's, you know, that God, right? You know, Yudkei Vavkei. I don't know who that is, but whoever it is, save me. Again, the Kabbalistic sources go into why exactly this works. I don't quite understand it. If you remember, right, Rav Avraham Ben Aramim said one of the purposes of Agadatot sometimes is just to tell you how great the Tanaim were and they could do miracles, right? That's like there's the last on his list. But this is one of those. I don't know what else to tell you about this.
What's the answer about Avraham Yitzchak?
That's not our topic for now, but you can look at the Marsha'as. The Marsha'as is a discussion here. So he gave Mary's sister-in-law. L'sof ishtama milse be'malka. In the end, the government heard about this. So Asu, Askul Zekifa, so they took him to kill him, to hang this warden. Amar Allah the Meir Aneni, so he screamed out these words, and Achtua. They let him go. Just like that. No miracle, they just let him go. That was the miracle. But I guess they were so shocked, and they said, Amar Le my high. They said, what was that? What exactly did you just say that magically convinced us that we shouldn't kill you? Right? Where are those magic words? So he says, Amar lo acha v'maisa. So he said, here's the story. Asu chakaku l'dmusa d'rameir apischa d'romi. So they made the ancient version of a wanted poster, and they engraved his face on the gates of Rome. Right? Rameir's face. Amri called a chazi l'partzufa hadain laisi. They said, anyone who sees this face, bring him to us. So Yom Achada Chazuha. So one day they saw him. Roid Abasre. They ran after him. Roid Mikamayu and all Levezonas. And then in the ultimate irony, he runs away and he hides in?
A brothel.
Ikad Amri Bishule Ovdi Kochavim Chaza. And Tamash Baha Matek Baha. Alternatively, he saw a food cooked by idolaters, and he stuck his finger in it and sucked on a different finger, but it looked like he ate treif. Right? Why'd he do this? Right, exactly. And third possibility, Ikadamri Asa Eliyahu Idamele Kizona and Karachte. The third possibility is that Eliyahu came and dressed up as a prostitute and hugged him. Right? And the people looking said, Amar Chas V'Shalom. And this is like a bizarre moment, right? The people chasing him understand he's a holy man. And they say, oh, it can't be Rav Meir. That can't be Rav Meir. If it was Rav Meir, he would not go into a brothel, he would not hug a prostitute, and he would not eat not kosher food. It must be we have the wrong guy. It's a evil lookalike of Rav Meir, right? The funny thing, obviously, is that, right? What's the irony of the whole story? That's one irony, but let's do two ironies, right? One is they understand he's holy. They're only chasing him if he's the good from rabbi, right? If he's a shegetz, right, that goes in brothels and eats treif, they're like, ah, he's a menovel, right? We'll let him go. But if he's the good holy man, right? The irony is that they invoke.
What'll be the problem with the guy who goes to the brothel?
I don't know. It's just the irony of the story, right? Is that they recognize Rav Meir as a holy man, right? Meaning, right? They're chasing him because he has powers, because, right?
This guy's a bum.
Exactly, but that's the irony, right? They dafka want to chase holy people, right? Meaning the dissonance there, right? That they recognize he's a holy person, and God forbid he should do anything unholy, but that's dafka the person want to kill, right? Shows you the mentality that the Gemara is describing in the Romans, right?
They want to get his
power. No, they're going to kill Reb Meir.
Oh.
So, Arak also to Bavel, and this is the Gemara's origin story of how Reb Meir ends up in Bavel. So he runs away to Bavel. Ikadamri Mahai Maisa. The Ikadamri Mimaisa de Bruria. And the Gemara says, why do you end up in Bavel? One of two reasons. Either this story or Maisa de Berea. Right? Okay, now before we get to Maisa de Berea, right, let's analyze this this moment here. Right, what's the problem here? Right? Again, I want you now to think thematically. What's the problem here about Rabbi Meir? What, right? When many modern commentaries have pointed out that there is an implied critique of Rabbi Meir in this Gemara. Not just because the Gemara we noted in Kiddushin, right? That Rabbi Meir is, right? Has too high expectations, right? The Gemara sees, according to many modern commentaries, and I tend to agree with them, right, a veiled critique of Rabbi Meir here, which is, Rabbi Meir, you held your sister-in-law to the standard that if she had been violated in a government brothel, you wouldn't have saved her. And now you're being chased by the Romans, and how do you manage to save yourself? By running into a brothel, or by having Eliyahu dress up as a prostitute and make everyone think you violated. Right?
I don't know why these are issues.
Yeah.
That's not like tricks, I don't know. It was a good plan.
Yes, but why this trick, right? It's a degrading thing. Why, of all things, is that how he has to save himself? He could have saved himself anyways. But why that? Why that? Right? Why those two? Why is two out of the three things that the Gemara says, right? If you think about, for a moment, think about the context of the Gemara. Remember, we've been doing this Gemara for a while, right? The Gemara starts, this Gemara starts Tezayin Amud Beis, right? What was the first story in this Sidra?
The guys who got captured and one said you're going to live on there. No,
that was on Yud Zayin, on Tez Zayin. This has been going on for 2.5 blot, right? The first story in this Gemara was what?
The Romans.
That was enough. Gimel, please. Please, come on.
It was the guy who went with the...
It was Rabbi... No, that was even before that. Rabbi Elazar was captured for heresy. Right? And they wanted to kill him. Right? And then in the last minute, he escapes. And what happens at the end of that Gemara? He goes home after he's escaped. And what is the first question he asks? Right, I understand why politically the Romans captured me. But religiously, what did I do wrong that I was deserving of being captured by the Romans to begin with? And what does Rabbi Kiva say? If you were captured for heresy... By the way, what does it mean he was captured for heresy? We actually didn't do this with Gadata. We just did it briefly. What does it mean he was captured for heresy?
He taught Torah in public.
No. It was the same heresy that the Jews didn't like. Right? Because the Jews and the Romans had the same enemy, who was the early Christians. Right? They were considered rebels by the Jews, theologically, and they were considered upstarts by the Romans. So it probably means he was arrested, and certain versions is actually explicit, because they thought he was Christian. Right? They thought he was Christian, which made you a Roman rebel. And Rabbi Elazar says, look, I get it. Politically, they thought I was Christian, so they arrested me. But why, of all things, did I get captured, right, theologically? Meaning, why did God, Mida Keneged Mida, punish me by making me be captured by the Romans because they thought I was Christian? What did Rabbi Kiva say to him?
Because you enjoyed what the men said.
Correct. And in certain versions, it's Talmid Yesha Notzri, right? In certain versions, it's you enjoyed Torah from Jesus, or a Talmud of Jesus of Nazareth, right? Which means that what's the context of these two blot? Think about it. Right? Meaning, yes, there's a Mida Keneged Mida, that he wasn't actually a Christian, but because you did something that was wrong on that spectrum, God had the Romans punish you, right, capture you, right, by making you think you were actually a Christian. Right? And then you had Reb Chanina ben Trajon. Right? What was Reb Chanina ben Trajon? The Gemara does the exact same thing. He's arrested for teaching Torah in public, and the Gemara says that makes sense politically. But why did God let him be captured? Because he taught Torah in publicly, right? He taught the Shema Hashem publicly, which was also a sin. And since the sin overlaps with the political problem, God allowed him to be captured. Right? Which means thematically, this is the third in that unit, which is, if he's allowed, right, if the way he's going to be saved, right, is the disgraceful way of this Zona thing, right, that it looks like he went to a brothel, that's the only way God will allow him to be saved, that might be because he acted incorrectly in holding his sister-in-law at the brothel to who too high of a standard, right? That would fit the theme of these two blot, right? So there does seem to be a thematic Mida Keneged Mida critique of Rabbi Meir, Right? Now, it's not at the level of the other ones, right? Because this is, there it was, why was he punished? It's the way he was saved, but it's in a disgraceful way.
Right?
Right? Obviously, remember, what's the context here? That he manages to have the warden saved simply by saying, Eloha demeir aneini. But for whatever theological reason, Reb Meir can't save himself with the same magic words. Right? He needs to be saved. Right? What would you have expected? Right? If I was reading this Agadah, what I would have expected is the warden saves himself by saying, Eloha demeir aneini, and therefore kal vachomer, Reb Meir with what? Yeah, they're coming to save him. He would say, Eloha demeir aneini, or Eloha aneini, God answer me, and God would have whisked him off on a flying carpet, right? Or made him invisible, or whatever. Right? But it doesn't happen. He only gets saved, right? Through a disgraceful way, right? You could have had Eliyahu come and said, right? You could have had Eliyahu come and dressed up as Rabbi Meir and try to kill Eliyahu, right? You could have had, right? There's a million things. Once you're including Eliyahu in this, so many things could have happened. Why is it that the way he had to be saved was, right, Eliyahu as a prostitute hugs him? And by the way, what does the Gemara leave, I think, purposely ambiguous? We'll get to that in a second. Whether Reb Meir knew it was Eliyahu. Right, Reb Meir doesn't know this Eliyahu. As far as he knows, he's actually hugging a prostitute. Right, we don't know that he knows that this isn't a sin. Right? We don't know. Which means that, from Reb Meir's perspective, the way he was saved, possibly, he was actually being hugged by a prostitute. He doesn't understand, right? We don't know if he knows this is Eliyahu. But either way, it's quite disgraceful. Right? So there does seem to be, and think about it, it's a very good midah, can I get midah, which is, you only wanted to save your sister-in-law if she managed to not get raped in a government brothel. You see how easy it is to get away from the Romans, right? The only way you're going to do it is if you, lichatchila, put yourself in a brothel, or hug a prostitute, right? Or eat treif, or whatever the case may be, right? But two out of three overlap with
can't his... Can't the opposite? That he got his reward by brothels, reward being saved?
You could. That's a little bit weird, though, because what would be Maisa Shahaya? So there's many ways of reading this, right? The Gemara says there's two reasons why he ran away. One is Maisa Shahaya, right? This Maisa. What's this Maisa? So we don't know, right? We don't know it's because the Romans are chasing him, right? We don't know it's because, despite the fact that the Romans stopped chasing him, he's so humiliated by the way he was saved that he can't show his face here anymore, so he leaves and goes to Bavel, right? Right? Meaning, it's not clear.
Not the Pashup shot, because the Romans trying to kill him, sir.
That's not the Pashup shot. Why? And we'll see this in a minute, because, and this is something that Rav Eitam Hagen points out, what is the Pashup Shot of Maisa de Bruria? And this is what's explicit in Rabbeinu Nisim of Karwan, meaning Rabbeinu Nisim, the Rishon, right? Which is, what's Pashup Shot of Maisa de Bruria? The beginning of the story. I mean, there's two reasons he had to run away. Either the end of the story, or the very fact that he freed his sister-in-law. Right? What's Maisa de Bruria?
The thing that just happened.
No, the first half of the story. I mean, there's two halves to the story, right? Meaning, the Pashup Shah, Rav Eitam Hagen, right? Hashem Yikom Damo, has a 20-page article.
Isn't there going to be a new story?
No, that's exactly what we're going to do next week, because we haven't done it, right? But let me give you, right? Rashi, right, thinks that... What time is it, by the way? How much time do I have?
12:02.
Good, so we don't have time to do Rashi's version of Maisa Bura. We'll have to do that next week, right? No, in Rashi's version. One second, we're going to get there. We're going to get there, right? But many people, as we'll talk about, deny that the story that Reb Meir tells ever happened, right? Sorry, that Rashi tells ever happened, right? Instead, they say, what are these two stories? So, one second, let me get you the. I just gave you this.
Are you
Bar-Ilani? No, I'm pulling up the text. Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon of Karwan says as follows. Amra Zula Remeir Adoni Ulai. No, sorry, that's no, the next time it comes up. This is the beginning of that Gersa. One second. Okay, but I'll explain it while I'm getting the actual Gersa. Right, what does he say? Right, there's two stages in this Gemara. right? What are the two stages in the Gemara? Right? There's the first half of the story, which is locally understood as Maisa de Berea. Why? Because Berea told him, that's the beginning of the words, right? The beginning of the story is, right? Berea told her husband, Rabbi Meir, do me a favor and go and save my sister. Right?
What?
Because that was illegal. Right? Because that was what made him run away. Right? Meaning, there's two ways of reading the story. Which is, why did he run away? Is he running away because the Romans want to get him? Or is he running away because of the humiliation of how he was saved?
Wait, so when the Gemara says, Maishishalaya, or if he was the end of the story,
is the beginning of the story the end of the story?
No, it's always the end of the story. It's always the end of the story. It's always because either Roman chasing him, or the Gemara said he was humiliated. It's always the end of the story.
No. Maisa de Berea is the very fact that the Romans want to get him, which is because of the beginning, or because the Romans stopped chasing him. No, think about it. There's two ways of reading the story, right? It's, is he running away because the Romans are still out to get him because of his original crime? He just temporarily was saved, but the reason he left was because Maisa de Berea, because he's still a wanted man, and how many times a miracle is going to happen? Or did they give up on finding him after he was saved, but he still didn't want to stick around because it was humiliating, right? Because of Maisa Shaya. What? No, but those are two halves of the story. Correct. Now, right? I will read it to you in Rav Nissim Gaon, right? Rav Nissim Gaon writes as follows. Okay? So Rav Nissim Gaon, unlike Rashi, right, doesn't
get this, by the way.
That's what we're going to talk about the next week, okay? So in his Sefer Yafeh Me'a Yeshua, he writes as follows. He said, Halach lakach et yishto gon jeshlo v'avar al el Iraq. Rezurzel, he doesn't, right, he has no Maisa Berea at all, right? He just says he went with his wife, right, Berea. Yes, he has a different Gersa, right? That he takes Berea, which negates the possibility that she committed suicide, right? As we'll see. What? And, right, obviously. Right, so Rav Hedem Henkin notes that if you have Rav Nissim Gaon, the story that Rashi quotes is obviously impossible. Right, and therefore you've got to figure out, okay, then what is Maisa Shahaya versus Maisa de Berea, right? Yeah. Right, because it's not anything Berea did, what is
it's
it?
It's only impossible with the gears that doesn't have Maisa de Berea.
What? Again. Rav Nissim Gaon says that he went with Berea, right? That's the end of the story, right? Meaning, there is no Maisa de Berea. The question, therefore, becomes, okay, what does it mean Maisa Shahaya or Maisa de Berea?
Wait, but it's only a question if there is no Maisa de Berea. The only way the Rashi...
No. He has the gears at the end of Maisa de Berea.
Oh, so
but
his wife also?
What?
He adds to his wife in addition to Maisa de Berea?
Meaning, correct. Meaning, he fled to Bavel, right, with his wife, Maisa de Berea, right, which obviously means that it can't be because Berea committed suicide, right, and therefore he was ashamed. That doesn't work, right? He can't run away with Berea, right? That's just not a thing, right, if she's dead, right? And again, the simplest pshat, and that's what several people have noted, is that the Gemara's maskana is there are two reasons he ran away. Either because the Romans were still out to get him, because of Maisa de Berea, or because despite the fact that he was saved, right, the whole end of the story was so lo naim, right, he just had to leave. Right? But if you read it that way, then there's clearly a critique of Rav Meir, because they're saying that despite the fact that God saved him, he saved him in such a humiliating way that he still had to leave the country. Right? That's not exactly... Right? That is a critique of Rabbi Meir, Kamuvan. Right? I mean, we'll see. This is something that in general comes out, that there are indications in Chazal that they weren't thrilled with the standards to which he held people. In general, Rabbi Meir is too perfect. Right? That is... maybe I'll finish with this. Right? It's not just in sexual ethics, where Rabbi Meir expects the impossible and then ends up not living up to his own standards. Right? He's also too smart. Right, the Gemara in Eirvin says that they never paskin like Rabbi Meir. Why?
Well, he's not under the
They didn't understand it, and they had to go like what they believed.
It wasn't that they didn't understand him. It was that they could never understand which one was meant to be halacha maisa, because he was such a good lamdan that he explained both sides equally. Like, he didn't, like, right? Like, no one understood him. No one, right? He had such... He was too smart for everybody. His expectations were too high for everybody, right? Like, Remeir is just a super professional, right? A super, super expert person, right? And until this point, he is perfect in every way, shape, or form, right? In the sense of his, not necessarily in the way he relates to other people, but in the standards he holds himself to, right? He's the smartest, and no one understands him. He's perfect and expects the world of himself and makes fun of people who fall in sin, right? The Gemara says, you know, it's not a great idea. As the Gemara in Kedushin said, you are equally vulnerable. And this Gemara is, why are you holding your sister-in-law to those standards, right? There's clearly a critique there. What we'll have to do next week, I was worried that would happen, but that's okay. I left 2 weeks for this on purpose, is that Rashi has a totally different interpretation, right? Rashi says that Maisa Shehayah is this whole story from beginning to end, and Maisa Debriah is the story of Bria's suicide, right? And we're going to have to deal with two questions, which is, one is, did that story ever happen, right? Where did Rashi get it from? Right? Does it make sense within the personality of Bria? And whether or not it's from the Gemara or not, right? Whether it's Gemara or it's Rashi, or Rashi got it from a Mesorah or from a Mesorah Amamit, right? Meaning just it was what people said on the streets, right? What does it tell us about the way somebody saw Bria? Right? Meaning someone clearly saw Bria in a certain way that her suicide story makes sense, right? Whether it happened or not. Again, I tend to agree with the Reitam Henkin that like a Talmud Toa put it in, because even in the earlier versions of Rashi, we don't necessarily have this, right? And it's barely quoted, it's not quoted in any other Rishon, and it's not quoted in any Rishon who had Rashi even, right? Which means that it's probably a late Girsa even in Rashi, right? So it may not be Rashi Bechlal, which is the tendency that the Reitam Mangan has. I tend to go with that. But still, we have to understand where it came from and what it means, right? And what hangs on whether or not you think the story actually happened, but we'll do that next week, okay?